you're holding on Yod Amud Bey's 13 lines from the bottom. The Gemara is now going to bring in a sugya that eventually it's going to connect back to our Mishnah. We're going to go through a whole matter involving kodshim, things that are going to be used by the tzibur for the karbonos or the ketoros or whatever that weren't needed. What we do with those, and eventually that's going to lead the Gemara back to. The Gemara is going to bring our Mishnah as a question in that connection, which is why we have the following sugya. Now we have a rule like this: if a person designates an animal as a korban, and that animal is a tumim, it doesn't have any blemishes, and it's suitable to be brought as a korban. The general rule is you can't be poyked it. It has to be brought as a korban. The only way, generally, that it can be brought as a korban is if it develops a mum or otherwise becomes disqualified. For that reason, you have throughout Shas, we're going to have it extensively when we learn Zvochim, for example, Bez Hashem, we have to allow a certain animal to graze until it develops a mum, and then you can sell it, and then you can use the money for another korban. So we're going to be discussing that point over here, as well as now, we have like this. We know every year they collect Matzah Shekel, and the Beis HaMikdash's fiscal year begins on Aleph Nissen. Beginning Aleph Nissen, they have to be bringing the Korbanos from this year's money. So therefore, now you have like this. So we're going to start by talking about every year, therefore, comes the beginning of the year, they would have certain things left over from last year, left over from the year that just ended with Chavtes Adar, that now they need to figure out what to do with. So the Gemara starts off. Oma Ola Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Tzmidim shalai hutzruchol tzibur. Tzmidim that were not needed by the tzibur. Meaning Rashi explains, the Mishnah tells us in Erchin, you always have to have in the Lishka, in the chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a chamber where they kept the sheep. It was called Lishka Satloyim. There's the big building in the Beis HaMikdash called the Beis HaMoiked, and in it you had four smaller rooms. One of them is the Lishka Satloyim, where they would keep the sheep. There always have to be at least six sheep in there, because they have to have for a few days beforehand, they have to be checking the sheep to make sure they have no mumen, the same way as by the Pesach, that they brought in Mitzrayim right before Yitzias Mitzrayim. They had to buy it on Yud Nissen, and then they had to check it for Mumim for 4 days, and then be Makruvin on Yud Dalet. We learn from that, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that you need to check Korbanos for 4 days before you Makruv them. So therefore, they would always have, since every day you need to bring two sheep for the Korban Tumid, so therefore there's always going to be a minimum of six in there, because you're going to have, let's say, so you have, it's Sunday, we have two sheep that will be makriv today. At the end of the day, they were still going to have the two for Monday, the two for Tuesday, and the two for Wednesday, all of which are in the process of being checked, all of which are doing their four days of checking. So now, come Rosh Chodesh Nissen, then we're going to have a minimum of six of them that were bought with last year's money. So loy hutzruchol tzibur. They haven't been needed by the tzibur last year, but now we bought them with hektish funds. What do we do with them now? So niftin tzmimim. So Ula is saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that these you can be poyda even though they're tumim. You can buy them back. So you buy them back from hektish on money of cholin. Then you take that money. Rashi describes you use it for most of truma. In Mishnayos Shkolim, it describes the various pots of money that they had in the Beis HaMikdash for various purposes. You had the truma itself. You had the money of the matzah shekel, which was used to buy the public korbanos and the various other things that they needed for the operating expenses of the Beis HaMikdash. Then you have, there would be what's called Moser HaTrumah. You'd have what's left over of the Trumah, that was Moser Trumah Yeshana, what was left over from last year's money. Rashi brings, there's actually a few different opinions in the Mishnah over there, what they would do with them, but one opinion, and this is the halacha, is they would use it for gold plating the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They would use it to buy gold to use to plate the walls over there. So now, what we're saying is, they would take these six sheep, they would use cholin money to buy them. So now these sheep are cholin. Now the money itself would go towards this rikui pachim, towards this gold plating for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then they would use some of this year's money, some of the new Master Shekel that came in, to buy back these six sheep, and then they can continue to bring them on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and so forth. they don't have a mum, and usually you can't be poured to animals without a mum, so that's the Gemara is going to take up the question how you can do that. Now, Rashi also points out they have to go through this middle stage of using holden money. They can't just say, well, let's take this year's money, and we'll buy it, because the rule is in hektish mischalal al hektish. You can't be mechalal, you can't transfer the kedusha of one thing of hektish directly onto another thing of hektish. So therefore, you need to have holden in between. See, what you have to do is you have to take holin money and then use that to make these animals holin, and then you're going to go and buy them back with hektish money, with this year's money. An interesting point, actually, which a couple of the Rishonim bring up the point, the Rosh brings up, the Ritva brings up, is why do we need to be so complicated then? We know that there's money coming in during Ado, which they're going to start using Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Why don't they just buy a few animals on credit and tell the merchants we'll pay you on Rosh Chodesh Nissan when the new money comes in, when the new money starts being used, and then they have animals for the next couple of days. So they answer basically that the Gizbarim wouldn't just buy animals retail like that a couple at a time. When they're buying animals for the Korbanos, they're buying a huge number at a time. So therefore they're not going to do that. Therefore they're not going to go to the merchants and say we want to buy just a couple of animals for the next couple of days. The only way they would do it is when they're buying a large number, and they're not necessarily, in other words, is the guy going to be willing to sell them that many animals on credit? There is another point as well, Achronim talk about, if we're saying you need to check them for 4 days, so what's the problem? Have them be holding animals until during those 4 days, and then be makdish them right before you need them. So the Turei Evan from the Shagas Aryeh points out that at least the point of Rashi, it comes out from that, at least the point of Rashi elsewhere, it comes out from that, that the whole concept of bikur only applies if the animal has been designated as a korban. There's no such thing. In other words, you can't say the animal has not been designated yet, we're going to start checking it from women, same physical animal, of course, but you can't, this concept of bikur that you have to check it for X number of days in advance is only going to work if the animal itself is already actually, has already been made hektish. And if it's made hektish, it means it has to have been bought with hektish money. So therefore, Ola is saying that you can be poured to them when they're tmimim, and then you're going to rebuy them back for hektish. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rabba v'kamal ala hoshmaita. Rabba was sitting over and say, was sitting and saying over the statement of Ola in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Omalei Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says to him, man say sloch ola Rabbi Yechanan Rabba. Who's going to pay any attention to you and your Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan? We find elsewhere in the Gemara that Rabba, even though he lived in Bavel almost his whole life, there was a period of time when he went to Eretz Yisrael and learned by Rabbi Yechanan at the end of Ksubah. So Rabba's brothers, who are already learning in Eretz Yisrael, sent him a message, you would do well to come over here and learn by Rabbi Yechanan. And apparently he did for a period of time, and so therefore now Rav Chista can tell him Rabbi Yechanan, your Rebbe.
He went back to Babel.
Then later on he went back to Babel, right. So who would listen to you and your Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan, says Rav Chista, v'chi kedusha behen lahechan hocha. Where'd the kedusha and them go? What do you mean? They had kedushas aguf, and we know that animals that have kedushas aguf and don't have a mum, you can't be poida, and you're telling me all of a sudden you're able to be poida these animals. How does that work? Tosfos points out, it's one thing if they didn't have kedushas aguf. We find, for example, other Gemaras that say they would take some of the money of the Machzor Shekel and use it to pay certain officers of the Beis Hamikdash and certain other people who are doing work on behalf of the Klal. Fine, but the money doesn't have kedushas aguf. The animal here has kedushas aguf. So how does that work? Omalei, so Rabbi answers him, Afle tisper d'lemin kedushas behen lahechan ocha. Why? Don't you, Rabbi Chista, agree that we don't worry about that? And it is possible when it comes to the Korbanos Tzibur to take something that had kedushas aguf and be poured it and be mechalal it. Such things do work. V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Shalim. Moisra k'turis maho yo'isimba. What would they do with the leftover k'turis from year to year? Now Rashi points out, we know, as we say in morning davening, that we have shlosha monim yisedim, we have 368 mana of k'turis every year. You'd have three extra mana, and out of that, the Kohen Gadol would take his double handful on Erev Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur. And then you'd always have leftover of it, because the Kohen's hands, under normal circumstances, are not going to fit three mana. So therefore, so you always have some left over, and eventually, as we also say, and as we also say in morning davening, and over time, those extras would amount up until you have half the amount that you need for the year's Torah. So they have 184 manas worth, and at that point, that next year, they would make only a batch of only 184 instead of the regular 368. So Rashi explains we're talking about that kind of Moser Ktoras. So again, the point is, in other words, comes with Chodesh Nissan, we still want to use that Ktoras. But how are we going to use it if it was bought with last year's money? Tosfos discusses the fact is, you know, the fact is, since to begin with, we make 365 Kenegani Moser Chama, well, then in a regular year, there's only 354 days, give or take 353, 355, whatever. So you're in a regular year, in a non-leap year, you're also going to have 11. You're also going to have approximately 11 mana left from year to year, because after all, the fiscal year of the Beis Hamikdash goes according to the month of Nisan, which is dependent on the moon, not the sun. So Tosfos says, you know, it's true. Every couple of years, of course, you need that to use for a leap year, because a leap year is a lot less than 365, is a lot more than 365 days. You would run out of Tertus if you don't have some left over from previous years. But nevertheless, the fact is that, the fact is in a regular year, aside from the leftovers of the three mana, you do also have leftovers of the 11 mana as well. And Tosfos goes in, by the way, and calculates, how, when we say over there, Achas HaShivim, Shana, Tosfos's Gir says Achas La'ayin Beis Shana. Exactly once every 72 years, they would have half the batch. And Tosfos discusses where that calculation comes from, and is it really truly 72 or is it 70? And then Tosfos says that if we say 60 or 70, then it might depend how many leap years there are, how many regular and how many leap years there are during those years. In other words, the Rashash teaches out. Tosfos is saying if the last two years of the 60 years both happen to be regular years, then you could end up with that after only 60 years you have enough that you have an entire half a batch, and then you don't need to wait another 10 years before you make a half batch. In addition, I mean, the fact is, Tosfos is also, in their calculations, is almost assuming that always you're going to have 2.5 mana left over, because the Kohen Gadol's hands are always going to hold half a mana. That Rashash points out, that doesn't seem to be precise either. The fact is, the Kohen Gadol's hands are going to vary in size. Anyway, the point is, so you have Moser Ktoras. However it works out, you have leftover Ktoras from year to year. In most years. Maho yo oisinba, so what would they do with it? Mafrishin mimena schara umnin. The first thing is they would designate an amount of money that we have to pay the workers. We have the craftsmen, the experts, beis habtinas, who would make the kurdis, they have to be paid. So the first thing is we separate out an amount of money that's going to be used to pay them. Now, the word mimena over here, both Rashi and Tosfos don't have that word, and Agos Habach takes it out as well, because we're not saying you designate an amount of the Ktoras equal to their wages. We're saying we designate an amount of money from Trumas Alishka, from the Machzor Shekels that are sitting there in the chamber. We figure out, okay, we need to pay these guys for the year, whatever it is, 48 mana or whatever, as the Gemara tells in Yoma, the stories about it. So therefore, fine, we're going to designate 48 mana of money, and this is ready to pay them. Now, the problem is, we can't directly pay them for their work with money of Hekdesh. We can't say, for example, we can't be Mechalal Hekdesh on work. So we can't say, well, you did 10 manas worth of work, therefore we're going to pay you 10 mana out of Hekdesh, because it doesn't work that way. So instead, what they have to do is, with this money, which is Hekdesh, we exchange it and we transfer the Kedusha onto money that belongs to these umnin. So we tell these umnin, we have to pay you, let's say 10 mana, so you bring us 10 mana of your own, and with that, we're gonna take the 10 mana of Hekdesh, and we're gonna be machalal on that, or machalal and osal mosa umnin, so we use that, we exchange the kedusha from one to the other, v'noisnin osal umnin v'scharan, then we give the 10 mana to the workers as their wages, v'chosin v'loishkinosim v'truma chadasha. And then we go and now we give them the actual Ktoras. What we do is we don't give them the money yet. We give them the Ktoras. Now you have 10 monas worth of Ktoras that's your private property. And then we go and buy it back from them using the new money. So now in the end, they're not ending up with 10 monas or whatever it is worth of Ktoras. They're ending up with 10 mana of money, which is really what they wanted all along. Rashi describes this way, it's more tzniistic. Rather than to go and sell it publicly and then go and rebuy it would be zila milsa. It would be a degradation of hektish to treat it that way. So instead, we do this kind of private transaction over here. Tosfos again discusses what the certain details why we need to go through this whole rigmarole, but whatever. The point is, in other words, that Vamai now says Rabba to Rav Chista, you're bothered by the fact Kedusha Behen Lahechan Hocha. Vamai, you could say the same thing. Name a Kedusha Behen Lahechan Hocha. Kedusha Behen Lahechan Hocha. Where did the Kedusha of this Torah go? On the face of it, it's the same thing. The Keturah has Kedush Saguf. It became Kodesh. At this point, Rabbah is assuming that the mortar, the Machteshes, in which they ground up the spices for the Keturah, is a Kli Shores. In general, anything that was in a Kli Shores has Kedush Saguf. So therefore, the Keturah has Kedush Saguf, and yet we're saying we can be Mechalal and we can be Poydeh. So you see that you could do that. So what's your problem with doing that with the leftover animals for the Tumidim, says Rabbah to Rav Chista? Omalei, sort of Chista answers back, Keturas Kamer. You're talking about Keturas? That's a different case. Shiny Keturas to Kedushas Domin. No, Keturas is not Kedushas, Aguf. It's only Kedushas Domin. It's just it was bought with money of a Hekesh, and therefore it has a degree of Kedusha. But the mortar that it was ground up in is not, in fact, a Kli Sharis. And therefore, no. It has no kedusha guf. And in fact, the Radvaz brings a point that according to Rav Chista's way of looking at it, things that are brought on the mizbeach achitzin are going to have kedusha guf. Here you have which are coming to be mechaper for various averus of the Jewish people. But the keturus is not coming to be mechaper for averus. The keturus is a korban which is beloved by Hashem, and it's a higher level of korban kind of, and it talks about in many places in the Zohar and Chassidus about how it connects us to Hashem, because keturus meloshon kotar, meloshon is the Aramaic word for tying together, so it's a different kind of thing, so not necessarily does it have to have Kedushas Aguf. It's enough that it has Kedushas Domim, says Rav Chista. Well, in that case, if it has Kedushas Domim, then no problem selling it to the Umnin for their money, and then rebuying it from them with the new money. So, the Gemara says, Elameata, well, by that logic, if you're telling me that the Keturas only has Kedushas Domim, loiti posel b'tvul yoyim, then it shouldn't become posel if a tvul yoyim touches it. Alomatanya, well then why do we learn in a Braisa? Alomatanya, Nitna Machteshes, once the spices of the Keturas were placed into the mortar, Nifselas Vitruyan, then at that point it becomes possible if a Tvulyan touches it. So we see that the mortar on the face of it is a Kli Shores, because otherwise it doesn't become possible by Tevul Yoyim touching it. It's called possible, by the way, in the sense that it can't be Matame anything else. The rule is, when we deal with Halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, possible means that it itself is Tomei, but it can't be Matame anything else. Tomei would mean that it can be Matame something else. With a Tevul Yoyim, the rule is always anything that's touched, in general, things that are touched by a Tevul Yoyim have the lowest degree of Tuma that can happen within that type of thing. So, for example, Truma, the lowest type of Truma that applies to Truma is Shlishi L'Truma. Right. If Tevul Yoyim touches Truma, he makes it a Shlishi. Kodshim, the lowest you can go is Revi. So if Tevul Yoyim touches it, it makes it a Revi. But it never, and by Cholim, it doesn't affect anything at all. And b'chitema kol kedushas dam mifsali b'tvul yoyim. You're going to answer, well, okay, maybe things that have kedushas damim can in fact become possible with a tvul yoyim. Which would mean, in other words, Tosfos says, fine, you know, before they put it into the mortar, even though it was already bought with hektish funds and it already has kedushas damim, you're going to say that even that you still have to have, it has to be ready to be used. You're grinding it. Now it's ready to be used as kedushas. So therefore you can say now it can have enough kedusha that now it can become possible by its full yoyim. Just the fact that you bought the spices with hektish funds would not be enough to pass a little full yoyim. The Gemara knows at that point. But still, you're going to say that it means that in general, any even something that has kedushas damim is able to become possible by a tevul yoyim touching it. Vatnan. But we learn in the Mishnah, Hamenachas Moven Behen Mishahokdashu, a Koven Mincha. Me'ila applies to it as soon as the person is Makdashit, because Me'ila applies even to things that have Kedushas Damim, even to Kodesh Bet HaKabayis, a person donates a stone to Bet HaKabayis, for example, and Me'ila applies to it. So the same way, as soon as the person designates the flour and the oil for the mincha, then right away Me'ila applies to it, and if the person now goes and uses it for non-hektish purposes, he's going to be chayev. Kodshubakli then continues the Mishnah, when they become Kodesh, when they're placed into the Azara and they're placed in a Kli Sharis, Hukshurli possible Tvul Yoim of Mechosik Yiporim of Alina. Then they become Hukshur in the sense that now if Tvul Yoim touches them, or Mechosik Yiporim touches them, or if they're left overnight, then they're going to become possible. But those are the kinds of things that apply only to Kedushas Aguf. So therefore, kodesh b'kli ein, like kodesh b'kli loy. So we see only when they're placed in a keli do they when they're placed in a keli do they actually gain that kedushas aguf. So just the fact that the mincha was designated for hektish is not enough. It's enough to trigger me'ila. It's not enough to trigger these other dinim of tevul yoyim. By the same logic, if you're gonna tell me that the machteshes, that the mortar that they ground the spices in is a kli sharis, well then we understand why it becomes possible by tevul yoyim touching it, because now it has kedushas aguf. But if you're gonna tell me that it only has kedushas damim, then it shouldn't become possible if Tevul Yoyim touches it, and yet the Braisa, and yet the previous Braisa had said that it does. Tosfos also discusses certain angles on it about you have Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh, you have things of Chulin that were prepared to the standards of Kodesh, and to a certain extent they have certain dinim of Kodesh, so therefore maybe if Tevul Yoyim touches it, then that would be reason enough to parcel it. But Tosfos discusses that our Gemara might be talking according to the opinion that not, and there's a difference between Daraisa and Darabanan, and Tosfos discusses a few other angles on that. So the Gemara says, Elamai Kedushas Agufi. So what are you going to tell me then? The Ketores, after it's ground up, only has Kedushas Aguf, and that would explain the Mishnah in Shkolim that we said before, that now we can sell the leftover to the Umnin, to the Beis Avtinas who made the Ketores, and then buy it back from them. And we're not bothered by that because it's Kedushas Damim, unlike, again, Rav Chista was bothered by how we could do that with the sheep for the Korban Tomid, which have Kedushas Aguf. So you're going to tell me that the Ketores does, in fact, have Kedushas Aguf, and that's why Tevul Yoyim can passel it. Elame'ata, then you have a question. Never mind the question of what you can do with it from year to year, but the question is, if you're going to tell me it has Kedushas Aguf, Tiposel Belina, then the Ketores should become posel by being left overnight. In general, anything that was placed in a Kli Sharis becomes posel if it's left beyond the time that it's supposed to be offered. Alamatnan. Well, then why do we learn? Why do we learn in another Mishnah in Me'ila? Hakoymets, the koymets of a mincha, the halavoina, and the lavoina that's offered together with a mincha, the akturis and the akturis, which is what we're focusing on over here. Minchas Koyanim, a mincha of Koyanim, which unlike a regular Yid's mincha, a Koyanim is taken out and burnt on the Mizbeach, and the Koyanim eat the Shirayim. But when it comes to a Minchas Koyanim, the Torah tells us the entire thing is burnt. Minchas Koyin Mashuach, and the mincha of the Koyin Gadol, the Chavite Koyin Gadol, which are brought in the morning and in the evening, half in the morning, half in the evening, and again, they're completely burnt on the Mizbeach and not eaten. Or minchas nesachim, and the minchas nesachim that come with many kinds of korbanos, where those also are completely burnt on them, mizbeach. So all of those molen behen mishavukdushu, all of those me'ila apply to them once they were designated as hektish in the first place, meaning even before they're placed in a kli sharis, just by saying this flour is designated for a mincha, or this flour is designated for a is designated for the minchas koyin mashiach or whatever, is enough to make it that now me'ila applies to it kodshubakli, and then when it's placed in an actual kli sharis, then it becomes suitable now to become possible if it's Tevul Yoyim or Mechosik Purim or and it touches it, or if it's left overnight, again, implying only if they were placed in a kli sharis, but not otherwise. Now, Rashi points out that on this Mishnah that we just quoted, apparently, is arguing on the earlier Mishnah in two ways. Not that it's arguing. Sorry, Rashi says that we had before Hamenachas Moelin, we had Mishmukdashu, and then it mentions that when Kodshu Bakli, then they're possible by Tvur Yom Mechusik Kiporim Uvelina. Or the Mishnah that we just quoted now is mentioning the same thing as far as the Koimetz and the Levoina and so forth. So Rashi explains why are they being divided up into two different Mishnayos. On the face of it, the Mishnah could have just said Hamenachas and put them all in one group. The reason is Rashi says because if you look in the Mishnayos in the Ilah, you'll find it goes on to mention other there are other distinctions between them when it comes to the ones that there's a difference between whether Pigul applies to them or not. Pigul is not going to apply to the things in the second list because the rule is Pigul only applies to something where it has something to be matter it for eating, and here you don't have anything to be matter it because they themselves are completely burnt on the Mizbeach as opposed to a regular mincha. The koimetz is its matter, and then the rest of it is and the rest of it becomes moto to eat. Anyway, Rashi goes on to say that in other words, so you don't have the concept of pigul, the concept of noiser, tomei doesn't apply. Now, Rashi also adds the earlier Mishnah. When we quoted the Braisa before about the Machteshes, we only said Nifselas Vitvur Yom. We did not say that it becomes possible by Lina. So therefore, the implication is that it doesn't. The implication is that you ground up the spices in the mortar and they're still not possible from day to day. So that means, in other words, so Rashi explains, therefore, now, when our Mishnah, this last Mishnah that we just quoted, does mention Keturas, so Rashi explains that what it must mean is, in other words, not that they took it out of the Machteshes, they put it in a Kli Sharis, getting ready to be Makar of it, and now we're saying that now it becomes possible by Lina, implying that up until that point, it wasn't possible by Lina. Now, if you're going to tell me that Keturas had Kedush Laguf once it was ground up, then why shouldn't it be possible by Lina? That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos discusses some other details about what the Gemara's proof is from the fact that from the fact that the earlier Braisa didn't mention Lina. After all, you could say the earlier Braisa mentioned Tvur Yom. Maybe it just didn't go through the whole list. It meant that the same thing, that it's also possible by Lina. In any case, the question is, therefore, that we see that the Machteshes is not making it, so here we said, once it's in the Machteshes, it's possible by Tvur Yom, but we're not mentioning anything about Lina. So therefore, the implication seems to be that Lina does not possible it. Well, why? If the Machteshes is a Kli Sharis, then Lina should also apply to it. Anytime that a Korban is left overnight, then it becomes, after it was placed in a Kli Sharis, after it has Kedushas HaGuf, it should be possible. Therefore, we should say that the Machteshes apparently is not a Kli Sharis. Well, then in that case, then why does it become possible with a Tvur Yom? That's the question, in other words. So what is the story with the Keturas? And if we say the Keturas only has Kedushas Damim, then you don't have a proof from the fact that they every year sell the rest of the Keturas to the Umnin and buy it back from them with this year's money, that they should be able to do the same thing with the sheep that are left over for the Korban Tumid, because the fact is those sheep have Kedushas Aguf, and the Keturas, on the face of it, was saying at this point, only has Kedushas Damim. At least until it's placed in a Kli Sharis. Omale, so that Rabba answers back Rav Chista. So you're talking about the fact of being left overnight, and you're saying that's why you're having a question, what is the status of the Keturas? And he says, no, Shiny Keturas, because the Keturas retains the same form throughout the year. Meaning, in other words, the whole concept that Korbanos become possible by being left overnight, the general idea is you leave anything overnight, it doesn't look the same as it did before. It might actually be spoiled, it might not actually be spoiled, but nevertheless, it's not as fresh as it was before. And therefore, so, okay, ultimately, the fact that if it's left overnight, it becomes possible to exist a custom, but there is a certain logic behind it because it changes its appearance from day to day, and therefore it's a certain bizarre to the conscience. But the the tortoise doesn't do that. You make it, and it retains the same form throughout the year. So you could say, yes, it has conditions of growth, but that's not enough to postulate it with Lina. So now, when it goes into a Keli, then the Chachamim are going to say, Midrabanan, it will be possible by Lina, because then otherwise you're going to think that other things in a Kli Sharis are allowed to be left overnight, and they're not going to realize this distinction. But until it was actually placed in the Kli Sharis, then we're going to say that Lina doesn't apply to it, and therefore the answer can be that yes, it was ground up in the Machteshes, but nevertheless, Midaraisa, the whole concept of Lina doesn't apply to it because it doesn't change. So even though the Machteshes is a Kli Shoris, nevertheless, Tevul Yoyim will apply to it, but Lina will not. And therefore, so, but it does have Kedushas HaGuf, and you see that the Torah with Kedushas HaGuf is still sold and rebought the coming year, and therefore there's no problem, says Rabbah, doing the same thing with the lambs. So Tosfos explains somewhat differently that the shiny tortoise here with Sarosa Koloshana, that that's the mitzvah. You make an entire batch for the year, and then only when you place it in the calf does it now become possible by Lina. But as long as it's in the Machteshes, then there's no reason that it should become possible by Lina, because that's the way it's supposed to be made, is a year at a time. And also Tosfos says, because the fact is you have a certain defined amount that you're supposed to bring, and pras b'shachas or pras b'nabayim, so therefore, it's not going to be Makadish more than what you need for the day. Ain Klei Sharis, Makadish and El Adas, Klei Sharis, a Makadish, only the amount that you have in mind is going to be needed for the Korban. And the fact is, you can't bring the whole 368 mana all at once. So it's Makadish and only piecemeal. Also, it's only Makadish Bizmana, and it's only Makadish each thing as it's needed for the Korban. So there's a variety of reasons that Tosfos says why, even if the Machtesh is a Klei Sharis, nevertheless, it's still not going to become possible to the extent of Lina. A different girsa, by the way, the Rimi Gash has a girsa over here, not suras, but surech, because surech, because it's surech, koloshana kolo, it's needed throughout the entire year, so it amounts to the same thing. In other words, the point is, it's not going to become possible by Lina, because the very definition is that it's supposed to be made a year at a time, and then they use it up throughout the year. So no problem saying that yes, it has Kedushas HaGuf, but nevertheless, Lina is an exception, and that doesn't prevent us from saying that it has Kedushas HaGuf, and the same way then the six animals that are left from the Korban Tomid also have Kedushas HaGuf, and nevertheless, we can be Mechalal then. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Mikol makom kasha, kedusha shebehen lahechana, v'chi kedusha shebehen lahechana ocha." Fine. So Rabbah has shown that Rav Chista's question from Keturis is not such a valid question, because we see that the Keturis, we see the Faker, we see the Keturis has kedusha zaguf, and nevertheless you're able to sell it to the Umnin and buy it back. Fine. So we can say the same thing with the lambs, but you do have the underlying question that Rav Chista asks: "Taka kedusha shebehen lahechana ocha? Where does that kedusha disappear to?" That was saying that you should be able to be poured as something that has Kedushas HaGuf. The answer is, Omer Rabba lay based in Masna Alehim, because Rabba says the heart of based in, to begin with, makes a tnai on them. To begin with, based in has in mind, when they buy these animals with the, when they supervise the buying of these animals with the Turmas Alishka, they have in mind not to give them Kedushas HaGuf necessarily. Im Hutzruchu, if they end up needing them, Hutzruchu, then they need them. Because after all, they don't know in advance which animals are going to be left over at the end of Adar and which are not. And again, like we said before, the Gizbarim buy animals in bulk. So if they need them, they need them. Vim Lav, Yulad Mayan, based in to begin with, has in mind that if not, then they have Kedusha, only Kedushas Domim, and not Kedushas HaGuf, and therefore there's no problem being poured to them from one year to the next. Omale Abaya, but Abaya says, well, how does that work? How does that work? Well, Mar Hud Omar, didn't you, Rebbe, yourself say in Masechet Tzmura, Hikdush Zochel Adom of Kodesh Kedushas HaGuf, that suppose a person were to take a ram or any other kind of animal and designate it for Kedushas Domim and say, I don't want this animal itself to be brought as a korban, I want to just donate that this animal's value should go to Bedek HaBayis, meaning that the Gizborim should sell the animal and use the money for Bedek HaBayis. So Rabbe says, no, it doesn't work. Kodesh Kedushas HaGuf, it still has Kedushas, and therefore you can't sell it unless it develops a mum, because it's something that could be brought as a korban, and therefore it has to be brought as a korban. So therefore, and you have to bring it as a korban. You have to bring it as a korban ola, and the Rosh says that's why it uses the word zohar, because an ola is only a zohar. Anyway, by the same token, if Beis Din is buying these animals for the korban tamid of necessity, since they're tamimim, it has to be that they have kedushas aguf, whether they like it or not. So what do you mean, lay Beis Din mas now lehen? And the answer is lo kasha, hoda amal ibmei ola, hoda amal ibmei nesachin. Because there's a difference whether he says that he's buying it for the value of an ola. So then we're saying that yes, it has the din of an ola, as opposed to hoda amal ibmei nesachin. Suppose he says he wants to give an animal to hekdesh so that the money should be used for nesachin. Now the animal itself cannot be used for nesachin. It is true that the nesachin themselves are offered on the mizbeach as well, but nevertheless, you'd still be allowed to sell the animal. So when you said, I'm selling it for the value of an ola, well, this animal itself can be brought as an ola. So therefore, you have to do that. But here we're talking about, for example, you were makdashit for dmei nesachim. It's true, nesachim also go on the mizbeach. Nonetheless, though, you are allowed to sell that animal. So therefore, the Rabbah says the same thing over here. So based in masna lehen, that the leftover money is going to be used to plate. There is going to be used to plate the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the animals for the Korban Tamid or the leftover Ketores are not designated for that purpose. They can't be used for that purpose. Therefore, they only have Kedushas Damim, and therefore, at the end of the year, they can, when it comes to Chodesh Nissan, they can do what we said before: sell the animals or sell the Ketores and rebuy it with this year's money. And there's no problem doing that because they based in Masna land to prevent them from having Kedushas Aguf until it's needed. All right, Esrabaya. Esrabaya says, in that case, I have a contradiction on that. A Braita says, Tar v'sor she yemek kapurim she'avdu, the par and the sor of Yom Kippur, the sor that we were talking about the last few days, the sor apnimi, the sor l'Hashem, and the par, which whose blood is also brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and into the Kodesh, so if they get lost, the hifa shachedim tachtehem, and he designated other ones instead of them. V'chein se'iri avodazara she'avdu. Similarly, with the goats that are supposed to be brought by the tzibur, if the Sanhedrin made a mistake and were matir certain kinds of avodazara, so the tzibur has to bring goats as a korban. And he designated other ones instead of them. Tosfos points out that the power over here could mean the power of Yom Kippur, or it could mean the power that goes together with the Seiri Avodah Zarah. In any case, so what happened now? So v'hifra shachem tachtein, and then you designated other ones instead, and then the original ones turned up. Kulon yomusu, then all of the ones that were found, all of them would have to be left to die. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Meaning, in other words, we have something called chatas shekipru baleh. Like what it talks about in Masechta Tmura, there's five cases where a chatas, because it can't be offered, we have halacha l'moshe misina that has to be left to die. We were talking in Ein Yaakov yesterday about a sneil ben knaz, about several hundred halachas that were forgotten during the time after Moshe passed away, and a sneil ben knaz was able to restore them. The Gemara discusses it in this connection that certain details of these halachas, what are the cases of chatoris hamesis, were among those halachas that were forgotten. Anyway, so you have five cases where a chatas has to be left to die. One of them is niskapru ba'aleha, where the animal was lost and the owner ended up using a different animal for his kapara. Well, this is that kind of case because they needed these animals for the korbanos of Yom Kippur or for the korbanos for Haralam Davashot Tzibur, as the case may be. And now they were lost and now they were found. So now we don't need them anymore. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says kol niyamusu. They all have to be left to die. Now, unlike the Wardaki points out, unlike the Seiri Harigolim, the reason why we're bringing this whole sugya in is because the Gemara is going to point out from our Mishnah where we have an example of the Seiri Rishchodesh or Seiri Harigolim who were lost and then found again, where we said we can use them next month or next Yom Tov or whatever. Here it's different. Because, for example, here these for Yom Kippur are only going to be able to be used next year. Now, by next year, that's a problem already. These animals are already from Truma Yeshana. They were bought with last year's money. So therefore, there's no way that we can use them next year. So therefore, it's going to have to be Chatas Shekipru Baal Lehel. Tosfos points out another. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Yuma gives another reason. In principle, that wouldn't be an issue. And in principle, that would be an issue. That would, in principle, you only need Truma Chadasha only for the mitzvah. The dievid, you use things from last year's money, you're still Yotze. Rather, the Gemara explains Chashin and the Takala. We're concerned you're going to leave around this goat for an entire year until next Yom Kippur, and then you're going to try using it. Meanwhile, somebody may not realize that it's hektish, and they may end up using it or something like that, and then they're going to be chayiv from the Ila. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're Mosul. Give it Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon Oimim, Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon say, no, you don't need to lock them up in a room and leave them to die. Yiruachi stavu, you take these animals, you leave them to graze until they develop a mum. Then you sell them, and the money is going to end up going for Nedava, which ends up going for what's called Kayetza Mizbeach, where they bring Korbanos on the Mizbeach when there's no other Korbanos being brought. We'll learn more about that tomorrow, Baz Hashem. Because they say this whole concept of Hataris HaMesis only applies to Korbanos of an individual, not of a tzibur. The Gemara explains in Tmura and in Hodius why that is. So Hodius we'll get to at the end of this year, Bez Hashem, in Elul time. Tmura we'll get to in another year and a half, 2 years or so. So the point is, fine. The machloikas is whether a chatas tzibur has the same dinim as a chatas yochid in this regard, and whether if the tzibur had their kapara with another one, whether we have to leave it to die or not. But the point is, in other words, we see, Sabaya says, v'amai, now according to Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, why should we have to wait until the animals develop a mum? Now, actually, the Ritva says the question is specifically from Rebbe Lozer's opinion. Rebbe Shimon, we're going to say later on in the sugya, he said that he doesn't hold this whole concept of lay based in masne. He doesn't hold that based in is able to make conditions in the first place. So fine, never mind Rebbe Shimon, but Rebbe Lozer at least, why is he saying you have to wait till they develop a mum? Lema, why don't we say lay based in masne ale? And why don't we say that based in had in mind to begin with, if these animals are needed for the korban, then good, and if not, then they never got kedushas aguf. And the result is now it turns out we didn't need them because they ended up getting lost and we substituted other animals for them. Well, very well then. In that case, then we should be able to be paid to them while they're tummim, just like we did with the leftover lambs for the korban tummim. Rabbah answers him back, Avudin Tamrit. You're talking about the case where they got lost? That's a special case. Shiny Avudin Deleshtifi. For the animals to get lost is not so common in the first place, and therefore Basin did not have that in mind. It's one thing to have leftover animals from year to year, that you always have. It's a regular thing that you have animals left over from year to year. So therefore we can say, Lay Basin Masna, Basin keeps that possibility in mind in the first place, and therefore they have in mind every year that the ones that it turns out at the end of the year are not going to have been needed, then those won't have the goof in the first place. But to have in mind if the animal gets lost that it shouldn't that's very unlikely for that to happen in the first place, and therefore Basin doesn't keep such a thing in mind in the first place. Abaya says, still, Hare Para Delishticha, consider the case of the Para Aduba, which is not so common. From when the Mishkan was built until Ezra's times, there was only the one Para Aduba that was supervised by Moshe and Parshas Chukas, and after that next one was done by Ezra, and then there were only a few more during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Altogether, Rashi says there were seven. A Mishnah in Parah actually says two different opinions, whether there were seven or whether there were nine altogether. The Rambam Paskins like the opinion that there were nine. Braises explain actually that what it may be, the reason there were nine is because some of them became two in two cases. They became possible, and they had to make another one. Whatever the case, the Rambam in Hilchos Parah Adoma brings that there were nine, and the tenth one will be brought by Mashiach. Rebbe, by the way, learns from that, the fact that the Rama mentions that point, that it should be B'mheir of Yemenu, that every time you mention the concept of Mashiach, you should right away say that should be B'mheir of Yemenu. Not just, okay, Mashiach, you know, some abstract thing. So it's a reality. It can happen at any moment. Anyway. So, Parah Delashticha. So the Parah Adruma is not very common because you only have a few of them in history. The Tanya, and yet we learn in a Braisa, Pora Niftesacho Psoshaba, the Pora Adruma can be redeemed for anything that happened that became possible, anything that would cause it to become possible, then you can redeem it. Mesa, if it dies before they have the chance to shecht it as a Pora Adruma, Tipoda, then also you can buy it back, even though on the face of it, as the Gemara is going to say soon, and well, we have a concept in Poder's a Kodshim, Lachim on the Klovim. Usually you're not allowed to be Poder Kodshim, where the only thing you can do is use them for animal food. And here, since the animal died and it wasn't shechted, then you can't eat the meat. The only thing you can do is give it to dogs. Nevertheless, the Braisa is saying that you could be Poder. Nishchatati Poder. Similarly, if it was shechted in the wrong place, then also you can be Poder. Even you found the nicer animal for the paradroma, so you have this one that you were going to use, and then you found a nicer paradroma, then instead you can be put to the original one and use the new one instead. And that Kiva Eger over here refers to something in Yuri Nashas, refers to something in Tosfos further on in the Masechta, in the next parak, that says that it is true that it is true that Tosfos mentions later on that in general Korbanos, and here we're talking about the Paradroma, should be the very best. Tosfos mentions later on, the Gemara talks about why we call a certain Toda Gdola, as though it's bigger than normal. It's not something the Pasuk is not going to stress, that the Pasuk, that the animal was bigger than normal, even though it is perfectly true that Korbanos have to be as nice as possible. So here, by the same token, then the Paradroma has to be as nice as possible, so therefore they find the nicer one, then they can use it instead, and that's a valid reason to be poured to the original one. And the Braisa continues, Shochta Agabi Marachta. On the other hand, if the Paradroma was shechted on its pile of wood, in the proper place, on Harazesim, in a place where Rashi points out, they would also carefully check the place and make sure there's no Keverat Tahoin, make sure there's no deep underground grave over there. So they would have a special place on Harazesim prepared for this purpose. So if they shechted the Paradroma there, then Ein la Pedia Lomas. And at that point, they can never be Poder, because now that it was done by Hechsher, Rashi explains it would be a Gnai, it would be a shameful thing to now make it be Cholin. In any case, the point is, the point is, on the face of it, Pora is just the goof, and yet you're telling me, and it's not common to have a Pora Adruma in the first place, or it's not common, another explanation of Mephoshim is, it's not common to have a new one to substitute for the old one. And yet we see that such a thing is allowed. So we see that it is allowed even when something is not common. So what are you telling me? Only things that are common is lay based in Masna? And the answer is shiny part of the Kodesh Beit HaKavayis. Because the difference is part of the Pora Adruma is not Kodesh Mizbeach in the first place. Obviously, it's not Boron on the Mizbeach. It's only Kodesh Beit HaKavayis, so it doesn't have Dursh Zagruf in the first place. Well, the question is, Yehochi Mesa Nishchatit Pora, then what do you mean? The Braisa is saying if it died or if it was shechted in the wrong place, then you could redeem it. How could you redeem it? To redeem Kodesh Beit HaKavayis, you need Haba'inen HaModa V'Harocha. You need to stand up the animal in front of the Kohenim, and they need to evaluate it and see how much it's worth to pay Hekdesh. We learn that from, we see in Psukim, in Parshas B'chol Kosai, where it mentions that concept, V'Hemeris HaMehema V'Herich. So therefore, then, once the animal is dead, you can't do that anymore. The answer is fine. Homani Reb Shimon, he drama kodshim is beach, hoi b'chal, ha'mod v'harocha. No, because our braisa could be like Reb Shimon, who says only kodshim is beach have that rule that you need ha'mod v'harocha, that you need to stand up the animal and have the kohenim evaluate it. Meaning that you have an animal that was meant to be brought as a korban and now developed a mum or became possible in one of many other ways, then you need ha'mod v'harocha, and if the animal is dead, then you can't do that anymore, and you just have to bury it. But Reb Shimon says, the whole concept that you need Hamad v'Harocha, says Reb Shimon, does not apply to begin with to Kodesh Beit HaKavayis. So therefore, it's not a problem. So the Parah Adruma is Kodesh Beit HaKavayis. Therefore, even after it's dead, you can still be poured there. The one case we said, if it was already prepared, if it was already placed in the Ma'arocha, in the place that was specially designated for it, and they shechted it, then at that point it would be a gnai to go and make it cholin. But otherwise not. So the Gemara, this is according to Rashi, that the flow of the, according to Rashi, the flow of the Gemara was that the Parah Adumah to begin with is something very uncommon, and we still see that we have all of this thing that you can be Parah without needing, and without, and even uncommon things. And the answer is, since it's Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis, then you don't need Leib based in Masna in the first place. That whole concept is needed only for Kodesh HaMizbeach. Tosfos gives a different explanation of the flow of the Gemara. According to Tosfos, Abaya knew to begin with that the Parah Adumah is only Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis. But he thought, still, if you're going to say you need Leib based in Masna, the point is it's not common to find a nicer one, and still we said that it's possible to do that. And the answer is the Parah is Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis, you don't need Leib based in Masna in the first place. So the question is, in that case, then if it was shechted, you should be able to be parodied. In other words, if you're going to say we're being parodied on the grounds of Leib based in Masna, then fine, then it's considered, you could consider it as though it was like a Baal Mum to begin with. And even Rabbi Yochanan in a different Gemara explains that then you don't need Hamad of Haracha. But if you say you're requiring Leib based in Masna, then shouldn't you need Hamad of Haracha? And the answer is Rabbi Shimon holds that you don't need Hamad of Haracha for Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis. Well, the question is, Reb Shimon, so if you're going to tell me that our Braisa is according to Reb Shimon, Amos Sefer, then look at the next part of the Braisa, Shtochta Agave Ma'arocha, where the Braisa had continued that if you did shecht the Parah Adumah in the place where it was supposed to be shechted, on the pile of wood, in the place that was checked, etc., etc., then you can never be parodied, because we said it would be a gnai to do that. Vahotanya, the question is that doesn't fit with Reb Shimon's opinion. You're telling me this Braisa goes according to Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon himself holds. Vahotanya, Reb Shimon Omer, Parah Mitama Tumas Oichlin, Reb Shimon says that the Parah Adumah is considered food insofar as if something Tomei touches it, then it becomes Tomei like food. As it is, Rashi explains, anyway, the Parah Adumah is also Bahanar. It's meant to be burnt, and then you're going to, and then you're going to be using the ashes of it. But nevertheless, the point is, if it will be metame other food. So a sheretz, for example, touches the Parah Adumah, it will become tummy. It will now be a rishon l'tumah, and if the flesh of it now touches other food, then that other food will become a sheni l'tumah. So Reb Shimon says it is able to be metamet from aselchin kosher because it had a period when it was kosher to be shechted before they put it on the ma'arocha. They could have shechted it as a normal animal and eaten the meat. And Reb Shlokish says further, Reb Shimon says that would even work. Once the pora is on the ma'arocha, you could still be poured there if you find a nicer one. So Rashi explains, Reb Shimon holds, when you have something that is ready to be redeemed from hekdesh, it can be considered as though it already was, and therefore you could say that this animal is considered as though it was already nifta once we find the nicer one, and therefore it's considered food that can be eaten and can be fed to others, and therefore it's able to be makabel truma and it's able to transmit truma to other food. So we see, in other words, that Reb Shimon holds that you could be poured to the Parah Adumah even when it's on the Ma'arocha. And yet the Braisa was saying before that not. That means that Braisa is not a coincidence of Reb Shimon. Well, if it's not a coincidence of Reb Shimon, then don't you need Hamad of Ha'arocha in order to coincidence of the Chachamim against Reb Shimon? You do need Hamad of Ha'arocha in order to be poured to something from Bedek HaBayis. So even if the Parah Adumah is from Bedek HaBayis and not Kedushas Mizbeach, but nevertheless, how are you being poured there once it was shechted or once it died? Tosfos, by the way, refers over here to Tosfos just says Mefurish v'makamachah. This whole thing of Parah Mitama Tumas Oichlin is explained elsewhere in Bava Kama. In Bava Kama, you have the shortest single amud in all of Shas. You have like a line and a half over there, just this line, Parah Mitama Tumas Oichlin, Hoyuvah Hosla Shasa Kosher, and you have two large Tosfos in that discuss various angles on that. What it means, why is it Mitama Tumas Oichlin, why appointed of Shimon is it Mitama Tumas Oichlin, and why appointed of Chacham would it not be Mitama that, and then, And then Tosfos goes into a long arichus of various details over there about why it is. Why are we saying this din that matama tumas eichlin? And Tosfos also discusses the point. The parah adruma itself is matama anybody who touches it until they finish burning it. So what do you need matama tumas eichlin? It itself is a source of tumah as well. And Tosfos discusses that Tosfos brings from a Rashi elsewhere. Let's say, for example, you took a piece of meat from it and wrapped it in dough, then the point is that it would still have tumas eichlin even though you're not actually touching the meat itself. And Tosfos goes into a long arichus of this whole point of tumas eichlin and various angles, and it's one of the longest Tosfos in Shas over there. So here Tosfos just refers to that without going into details. Anyway, the point is that Reb Shimon, so again, the question is like this. If the Braisa doesn't go according to Reb Shimon, then the first Braisa had said that you could be poida, the Parah Adruma, even after it died or even after it was shechted outside of its place. Now, what about Hamod of Haracha? We're saying Reb Shimon says you don't require that. But the Braisa can't be like Reb Shimon because then it wouldn't prevent him from being poided al gav ma'arachta, and the Braisa had said that you can't be poided at that point, and Reb Shlokesh explains Reb Shimon to be saying that you could. So now the question is, in other words, and you have this whole matter, you're saying Leib based in Masna, that based in makes it possible to be poided, but we said before, Rabbah had said based in only has in mind the common situations. The Parah Adruma by definition is uncommon. Or like Tosfos says, the fact that you could find another animal that's nicer than it is even more uncommon, and yet we're saying that you're able to do that. So we see that Leib based in Masna should apply also to cases where it's uncommon. In that case, then returning to before, at the bottom of the previous Amud on the top of this one, where we had the Purim of Yom Kippur or whatever, where they got lost, and we said you have to wait till they develop a mum, and only then you can be Purim. If Leib based in Masna, you should be Purim to them, even when they're Tumim, because based in would be Masna, even on the uncommon cases, as we see with the Parah Adruma, where they have in mind even the uncommon cases. Rather the answer is shiny parah hover the mare yukorin. The difference is because the parah adruma is very expensive. So based in does have in mind even the uncommon situations, as opposed to the par and the sor of Yom Kippur or hover zara or whatever. Those are much less expensive animals, so therefore based in is not going to have in mind the uncommon cases such as where the animal was lost. So you can use that to explain the distinction. Well, you can use that to explain the distinction why it would be that in the case of the Parah Adruma, we say that even uncommon things, such as finding a new one, is valid grounds to be poided, as opposed to by the Parah of Yom Kippur and whatever. We say, yeah, they have to develop a mum because we're based in Masna is only going to deal with either the common cases or the expensive cases. In other words, the idea is, as the Gemara is going to go on to give a moshul for it, you have something expensive, you're going to want even the little bit of it. So here, the Parah Adruma is worth an enormous amount of money. If you have to be poyed there, then it's worth only a tiny amount. Nevertheless, you still want to recoup at least a little bit of the expense that you put towards this Parah Adruma. So that's, let's get into that. We said that if the Parah Adruma dies, you could be poided. What do you mean? If you poided as a kodshim la'achil on a klovim, how can you be poided a kodshim where the only thing you can do is feed them to dogs? To be poided a kodshim has to be where you should be able to eat them, and here you can't because it's a nevela. And the answer is omer ha'mashashi, mishum oira. Tosfos points out there was actually a machlokas about that elsewhere in Shas, but nevertheless, with the Gemara is following the opinion over here of a Stam Mishnah and of other sources that say that ain't poidin, that in order to be poidin kodshim, it has to be that they should be edible, and here they're not. So the answer is Amar Mishashi, Mishum Oira. The answer is, fine, they can't be poidin, the meat itself, they can't do anything with, they're going to have to bury, but at least the skin should be able to be used. So the Gemara says, why? The tiny basin of Master Adaita Da'ura, would basin go and make a t'nai in advance in case the Parah Adruma dies, then we're saying it shouldn't have, it should lay based in Masna Alehan, and we should allow it to be nifta in order to save just the skin. The skin is worth next to nothing compared to the value of the animal. And the answer is, yeah, Omer Akana, Amri Inchi. It's like people say, Migamla Una. from a camel the ewe, meaning there was a person had, let's say, an entire camel, and all the camel was killed or otherwise wounded, and the only thing that he can get from it is the ear. He's going to try to get even that little bit. The same way over here, if we can save the animal's skin, then at least we should try doing that. Now that we went through this entire thing and we discussed this matter of lay based in Masnalein, so now Esve, now Abaya says to Rabba, now I have a contradiction to you from our Mishnah, which is again why the Gemara had brought in this entire thing. We said that the Chachamim asked Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, as we learned in the Mishnah, it's particularly Reb Meir asking him, Ma'o sheyikruhu zebazeh, according to you, Reb Shimon, that all of the Seirim do accomplish the same kind of kapara, could you use one for the other? So let's say you have the goat that was designated for the Sur Hanasa B'chutz of Yom Kippur and it got lost. Would you be able to bring it for a Korban Musaf on the next Yom Tov, on Sukkot or on Rosh Chodesh? When he answers them, yes, you could. And I ask him, since you hold that they're not the same kapara, since you hold that the one of Rosh Chodesh is only for Tumas Basar, only for the case, as we learned before, where a person eats Kodshim that are Tomei, whereas the ones for Yom Kippur and the ones for Rosh Chodesh deal with Tumas Mithish for Kodshim, where the person himself was Tomei and entered the Bais HaMikdash or ate Kodshim, Heyachen Kraven, how could you use the Korban from one for the other? Omalahan, Reb Shimon says, that's not a problem, Kul and Bon, L'chapral, Tumas Mithish for Kodshim, because all of them are meant for the same kind of Kapara, they're all meant for things involving Tumas Mithish for Kodshim, and therefore he says, I don't care about the fact that one of them is Tumas Basar and the other one is Tumas Aguf. The question is, says Abaya, according to you, that you're saying lay based in Masnalein, Ba'amai, why does Reb Shimon need that reason? Lema lay based in Masnalein. Why don't you say to begin with that lay based in Masnalein, and therefore, said Reb Shimon, could tell them, you know why? Because the Chachamim, to begin with, have in mind that if the animal, if the animal is unavailable for one carbon, then instead they can use it for a different one. The only reason why it works is because they're all the same fundamental kapara. But in other words, the question is, why does he say more basic answer, lay based in masna lehen, and therefore, why should we need that reason? We should be able to bring it. Why didn't he doichak to say kulan boin l'chaper? He should say because it means, in other words, the chachamim to begin with have in mind, the basin has in mind. If they can't bring it on this yom tov, they'll bring it on another yom tov. The Rimigash understands the other way around. He says the question is, why do we even need to say that we would bring it as a korban the next time around? Based on everything we said so far, it should be laid based in Masnalein. It doesn't have kedushas aguf in the first place until necessary. Therefore, they should be able to be poyde even when it's tomim, even without it having a mum. So the answer is, Rabbi answers him back, Reb Shimon, Kamrit, you're talking according to the opinion of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon less laid based in Masnalein. Reb Shimon does not hold of this concept of laid based in Masnalein. And therefore, according to him, you can't say all of this that we were saying so far that Basin can have in mind, it won't have Kedusha until it's needed, and therefore we can be poyder. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of that whole concept. Tosfos points out, by the way, the Gemara on the face of it, the Gemara could have answered. We said before, even if we say laid based in Masnalein, Rava said they're only having in mind common situations, such as where the animal develops, such as where the animal is left over from year to year or something, not the uncommon situations like it being lost. Well, here we're talking about where it's being lost. Tosfos says because since they have great kedusha and the blood of it goes lefnai v'lefnim all the way into the kodesh hakodashim, therefore they would be extra careful with it. And second of all, the par and sar of Yom Kippur are only once a year, and the ones of Avodah Zarah are even less common. So therefore, so here it's true we're talking about the sar achitzon, but nevertheless and you do have seirim chitzonim throughout the year, but nevertheless we can still say that Beiskin will consider it's a common enough situation that they will have it in mind. So it's one or the other. Either, in other words, we're talking about that it's so rare, like the Parah Adruma, that they're going to have in mind even the uncommon situations. Or Fakir, there are so many Seirim, and there's such a high likelihood that at one time, one or another of them is going to get lost, that Beiskin will keep that in mind. So therefore, So therefore, the Gemara couldn't have used that answer, that it's not a matter of based in having it in mind. Rather, the answer has to be, Reb Shimon himself does not hold of this concept of lay based in Masan Lehen. And we know that, because the Omer of Idi, Ba'oven, Omer of Amram, Omer of Yechanan, Tzmidin Shalai Hutzru Chulatzibur, this case that we started out the Sugya with, where the Tzibur did not need the Tzmidim because they have leftover, they have extra ones on Rosh Chodesh Nissen, L'divir Reb Shimon, Ein Niftin Tzmimim. Well, according to Reb Shimon, we cannot be poured to them as Tzmimim. We would have to wait until they develop a Mum, or we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow a different alternative. What Reb Shimon says you can do with them, L'divir Chachamim, Niftin Tzmimim, and according to the Chachamim, you could be poured to them as Tzmimim because they're based in Masna Lehem. According to Reb Shimon, it doesn't work. Why? Because Reb Shimon doesn't hold of lay based in Masna Lehem. What do we do with those leftover animals from year to year? We'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow what we do. And we'll continue this sugya about lay based in Masna Lehem and about this whole matter of when we can be poyed of things and when not. But again, the reason we brought this in is because of the reference to our Mishnah, but still the Gemara is going to continue and go through the rest of the discussion and work all of this, all these details out.